I say
hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Fucking right. Fucking right. All night.
I love Drake.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on.
You need to be dun dun dun.
I love that song.
It's so good.
Oh, you know, you
have seen the video?
The video's fine. I mean, she was just like giving him a chub.
It's so beautiful. It's great. I ship them.
Yeah, I ship them too, but I'm also like, Rihanna, just fuck him already so
he
can move on.
No, he's never going to move on.
I think she's dangled the carrot.
She's fucked him once. He got fucked up. He gets hung up on vagina.
Text me in a crisis.
More than that, me in a crisis.
No matter how much he.
My boyfriend and I started calling each other daddy and mommy, ironically, and I think we made it. We made it official, and it's very like Drake trying to be Puerto Rican, like Poppy. So sometimes I go, "Hi, Poppy." Like it's like very, very problematic. Hey friends, I'm Jessica Williams.
And I'm Phoebe Robinson.
And you're listening to Two Dope Queens from WNYC Studios.
Ooh, ooh.
Sticky, icky, icky.
Phoebe, this show was so fun.
Oh my God, so fun. And also, it's a little different than what you guys have heard so far at home. First up, we have our buddy Josh Gondelman, who's a writer for Last Week Tonight, John Oliver. He told this kind of crazy story about his penis, but like, it's not like a gross penis story. But I will say that if you have kids in the room and they're not 17, you should get them out of there. But also maybe keep them in there. They can learn something. Take notes, you know? And then there's Micah Fox, who's one of the most underrated comics in New York City. And she has this great story about how she almost got killed by this weird murderer. You know what else also scared the fuck out of me? When I learned about Jess's purity ring. You never told me about that, girl. We have Jean Grey. Not Jean Grey from X-Men. That would be cool. But Jean Grey, the rapper, who's black and funny and has cool hair and tattoos. You guys, this is a banging episode, so stick around.
We are live from Union Hall in Brooklyn. I'm Jessica Williams.
And I'm Phoebe Robinson.
Welcome to Two Dope Queens,
yeah.
Baby. Oh my gosh, your hair looks so good, by the way.
Thank you.
You look like a season one Alias, you know what I mean?
Yes!
But also like Through the Fire, Chaka Khan, you know what I mean?
Yes! I love Jennifer Garner.
She's the best.
She's
amazing.
Awesome.
Alias is the bomb.
I hope she like bangs like a hot 25-year-old dude just to stick it to Ben Affleck.
I mean, she'll be fine. Both of them are going to be okay.
The dirtiest sex. Like, Ben would never let me do this. Like, that's the only kind of sex I want her to do.
Yeah, just like the opposite of like a Boston guy in every way.
Right.
I think she deserves that.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, there have been nights where she's like been like, okay, Ben, are you and Matt really going to do this right now? Okay. Well, I'm going to go fucking raise our kids. Good night. Tell me about this hair real quick.
Okay, so the hair, it was pretty chill. I took my dreads out. That took all night.
Do dreads take that long to take down?
Yeah, because I had to unravel them from my hair.
Yeah.
Then I had to unbraid it. Then I had to detangle it.
Right.
Then I had to wash, deep condition it.
Right.
Then I had to detangle it again and blow dry it out so I could get that nice blowout look.
So this is advanced concept for a lot of y'all in here.
That was...
And we all, you know, we always try to keep that WNYC demo in the know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, that was...
You threw a lot
That was like...
And I think there's like maybe 10 ladies in here that know what you just spoke about. I see you. We got some hands. We got some hands. They know. And just beautiful hair all around. God bless you, queens.
It's like the first time when a white person explained what bocce ball was to me.
I was like,
what? So yeah, I took my hair down while I was like watching just like random like TV and so then I took all my hair. My hair's gotten like so long. Like it felt very much like
awesome.
Like Michael Hutchinson in excess. Like that's like how long and like curly it was.
Yeah.
And I got this in. It took 3 hours.
That's not bad.
Yeah, they were so quick. And I was so jazzed. I like went outside. And I was like, I'm going to take pictures of myself against like a chain link fence and send it to my parents because it's like artistic. I was very excited about my hair. And then I go to Michael's. To pick up something I have framed, and like my whole day got ruined.
Why? What happened?
So I showed up because I have framed the New York Times article that we were in,
uh-huh.
and the newspaper had that framed just for like, you know, when
you're really good at that stuff.
Yeah, like having memories, like so, decorate my apartment. Yeah. And so I show up to get the frame, and it's completely empty in the frames department. And there's these two employees working like behind the desk, and like mm-hmm. they're not saying anything to me at first. And I'm like, it's totally fine. It's New York. I get it. Like, you're gonna ignore me for a really long time. It's okay. So I'm just standing there. I'm like, I'm like on Facebook, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then this white lady comes up, and before she even gets to the counter, they immediately start helping her. And I was like, oh, wow.
So you unzipped a little bit.
I was like, hi, hello, hi. Can you help me? Because you've been ignoring me for the past 10 minutes. Not a good way to start. I understand, but I was pissed.
You were live. Yeah.
And she was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you're not. But I was like, here's my ID. I'm here to pick up this frame. And she's like, oh, okay, great. And so I'm really being super stinking. Like, she's like trying to talk to me. I'm like, we're not friends.
Uh-huh.
And
she's like, so, how'd you...
Did
you been growing your red hair out for a long time?
So I was like, I go, you know what? I'm going to not... go crazy black lady. I'm gonna go inner nice. White lady customer service.
That's how you like, do it.
This is unacceptable. That I had to wait. I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. My favorite white lady customer service thing is never in my life. That is the best phrase. Like, older white dudes do it too, and they're like, never in my life have I been in this situation. Like, as if that is like the most devastating thing to the person they're complaining to. Like, the person's gonna be like, oh my God, this actually hasn't ever happened in her life. I'm really sorry we overlooked you, ma'am.
So I go, why is this a problem? Uh-huh. And she goes, oh, you know, I'm just so sorry. It's just like really busy right here. I'm like, are there customers hiding underneath all the frames? There's no one fucking here but me, dude.
No.
It was like, I am legend. There was no one here but me and a goddamn dog, dude.
Oh my God. That sucks.
It was a super high and then a super low that day.
I had something like that. Well, I like the idea of trying to like check your black woman, your like angry black woman for a second.
Right.
I had one where I was somewhere in the Midtown area at very late at night. I had just gotten out of like a work party, so it was just me by myself. And I walked out into the street and I put my hands up to hail a cab. And then there are these two black guys behind me and they're like, hey. And I was like, yeah, yes. And they're like, can we go with you?
Oh.
And I was like, no. So I tried, like, I was going to be like, of course not. Like, no, right. I'm a woman. Like, right. No. So I was like, oh, no. And they were like, no, what do you mean no? And I was like, well, like, I don't know you. I just met you. And then as soon as I started doing that, one of the guys starts doing an impression of me. And then he starts like doing this with his finger. Like, he just starts snapping and he's like, oh, you don't know me? I can't go home with you. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I can't even believe. And then I start to see like the white tourists that are in Midtown. And so I'm getting self-conscious. I'm like, I can't snap here.
Right.
They're taking pictures. I can't be that woman here. And so I'm like, okay, calm down. And I was like, okay, can you please, sir, please stop doing that. Please stop mimicking me. Like, oh, so you want me to stop mimicking you? Huh? You want me to stop mimicking? And I was like, oh, please stop. Stop. Why are we having this conversation? I was like, it got to the point where I was like, I can't believe I'm having an argument with you right now about you not getting in a cab with me.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. And so then he was like, look at her lip, top lip, snarling like a pit bull. Look, typical black woman snarling like a pit bull. And so then that's when I was like, ah! I don't give a fuck. So I was like, you shut the fuck up. I can't even believe this. You're an asshole. You're not supporting me. I can't even believe it. This is something black women need more support and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just livid, and I just became that woman.
Right.
And then I realized halfway, I was like, what am I doing? Like 30 seconds into it, because he's just mocking me, and then he starts barking at me. So he's just barking. I was like, you know, I need to get in the car. I need to get in the car. So I get in the car, and he's still barking at me. So then I roll down the window. I was like, keep barking! Keep barking! Please take me to Prospect Heights. Please. I can't
believe the barking.
Barking, though.
That seems like
from
crazy.
Our people.
I know.
Oh, my God. I was like, that is what made me the most upset, was the barking.
Yeah.
As if, like, there's this problem with female anger, and there's this problem with black female anger.
Right.
That I can't handle, especially when oftentimes I feel it's justified.
Right. And also, it's like, you don't know these guys. You don't want to get in a cat. That just sounds
their logic
sketchy.
It was not there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But when they're starting from that fucking crazy town USA,
right,
then what argument do you have to make with, like, a crazy person who's barking at you? There's nothing you can say.
Yeah.
It's so not fair. Yeah. It's like, female anger, then she's an angry feminist. Black woman, then she's an angry black woman. It makes me so upset.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, dudes go out and play football, and, like, boxing's a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they're like, come at me, bro.
Yeah.
Come at me, man.
Like, wrestling is fake and people are really into it. You know what I mean?
I'm into wrestling.
That's fine. Okay, I'm saying that's allowed to exist.
Right.
It's allowed to exist. And yet female anger is not.
Yes, that is true.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. Not cool. Okay. We should get this show started. How you guys feel about that?
You guys ready?
So I've been seeing a lot on social media about people crushing it, and like we all pretend like we're crushing it all the time.
Every day, baby.
Right. So I
fake it till you make it, baby.
So we were like, let's get real tonight and let's talk about some failures, because we've all screwed up, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Almost definitely.
Yeah. So tonight our theme is failures, and we have so many amazing, talented people tonight who are going to tell you about the times they screwed up, did stuff wrong, and we can all feel sorry for them, but also be like, oh, we all failed together. Yeah.
But also being like, what? They did what?
I'm better than that. So it's a lot happening.
You'll leave feeling better, or when you're listening to it, you'll feel a little bit better about yourself.
Right. And I'm very excited about our first storyteller tonight.
He is a writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. He co-wrote a book called You Blew It. Please welcome Josh Gondelman!
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with all of you. So this is a story of probably my lowest professional point. But I want to couch it by saying it's also a story about defeating a nemesis. And that's like a hard thing to do. And I want you guys to feel the hope of that at the end of the story. And I will tell you right up front, my nemesis was the CEO of a pharmaceutical corporation, which sounds like a formidable opponent. Until I tell you, he was the CEO of a pharmaceutical corporation that predominantly manufactured a penis-numbing spray marketed towards premature ejaculators. So less of a worthy adversary, I'll admit. Because we're talking about a doctor who at some point in his career was like, no, you guys handle cancer. I'm going to hook it up for the dudes who think sex feels too awesome. Why? No reason. Have you been talking to Sheila? Anyway, so the reason this guy is in my life at all is because I was at a period in my life where I was doing a lot of freelance writing, and I got an offer from an editor that I work for. She wrote to me. She was like, Josh, will you test and write about this penis-numbing spray marketed towards premature ejaculators? And I wrote back, as any man would, why would you even ask me that? That's never happened to me before. I turned into Rocky Balboa very briefly. And then she wrote back telling me how much money they would pay me, right? Which at that point was a large sum to me. And I wrote back without even finishing her email. I just wrote back one word, yes. And then I had to write a second email apologizing for how brief the first email had been, promising future correspondence would be more mutually satisfying. Offering to pick up brunch the next day. You guys understand. So I pick up the penis numbing spray from the magazine's office. And that night, I'm on a third date with a young lady, and we were getting along great, and we hadn't spent the night together yet, which I only say for context. And we're out at this bar drinking, and I get a little drunk, and I mention this writing assignment to her. My mistake. And she says, very reasonably, I'm not into that idea at all. Which, of course, she isn't. As I mentioned, we hadn't spent the night together without performance-enhancing drugs. She doesn't want me coming at her for the first time with, like, a dead-eyed, remorseless Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men boner. Just deciding who lives and dies on a whim, flipping a coin. You guys have great visual imaginations, those of you who are groaning, and I respect that. I'm jealous of it. So she says, I'm not into that at all. And I say, drunkenly, fine, I'll take care of this on my own. Which is the most self-righteously a man had ever declared he was leaving a date to masturbate by himself somewhere else. And that's what happened. I went home and I picked up my penis numbing spray out of the paper bag I was carrying it around in. And I used the maximum dosage recommended. I used 10 spritzes, which is, if those of you who are not intimately familiar with penis numbing spray quantities, it's a lot. I wanted to use one more spritz so I could be like, my penis goes to 11, but I didn't want to exceed the dosage of a medicine for the sake of a Spinal Tap reference. So I use 10 sprays and I get started, and it's not great. It's not terrific. I don't know if this is common to any other men here, but for me, a big part of enjoyment of a sexual experience is being able to feel my penis. That's what I'm into. And I couldn't. It was no good at all. It was like listening to a Fish song. I was like 25 minutes in, no end in sight. Just a lot of aimless, like, like, is this still going on? I thought this was supposed to be a new thing by now. Someone told me the live version was supposed to be good. This isn't good. So finally, I finish. And it's not like the good finish. You know, it's not like a grand finale. So it happens. And I write the article, and I file it with a magazine, and it runs on their website. And within 30 minutes, I got an email from the CEO of the company. He was furious. And I know that because the title of the email was, "This is ridiculous." And I didn't read the email, but I could tell from the little preview that pops up on your phone that the body of it wasn't like a video of a pug pushing another pug in a stroller. So it's like, he's probably pretty mad at me. And I didn't answer his email. I didn't. I was like, I don't have anything to say to him. He'll hear from me when I hear from his lawyer, was what I said out loud to no one, because it was just a thing I saw John Hamm say once on television. So I go to sleep that night, and I wake up the next morning, and I have another email, and this one is from his lawyer. And I was like, touche, nemesis. The game is afoot. Well played. Which is just something I saw Benedict Cumberbatch say once on television. So I have to get a lawyer to deal with his lawyer, because I couldn't go to jail over this, right? Whatever he was mad at. And at no point did I say his product was ineffective. If anything, I said it worked too efficiently. So I have to get a lawyer to deal with his lawyer. So it's a long week. It's 3 days. It's half the week. And my lawyer is going back and forth with his lawyer over the phone, over email. That's what I know. That's all I know. I don't know what they're saying to one another. I assume one is yelling objection, the other's yelling overruled, which is the thing I saw Sam Waterston say once on television. And I don't know what's happening. I'm in the dark, and I'm stressed out constantly for 3 days. And I feel so bad for even accepting this assignment, for going through with it, for tangentially bringing this young woman into it. I just feel like a real piece of trash. Then, after 3 days, I get a call from my lawyer who said everything's resolved. They changed a little bit in the article, and I'm in no more danger or trouble. And I felt incredible relief. And then 30 minutes later, I get another email from the CEO of the company. And I don't read it, but I do respond. I wrote, "Dear Chad," which wasn't even his name. He just had a Chad-like demeanor, so I called him Chad. I was walking on sunshine. Nothing could touch me. I believe our business to be concluded. I expect no further communication from you. Good luck with all your penis-numbing endeavors. Both professional and, I'm assuming, personal winky face. I'm sorry to be brief with you, but it seems like that's kind of your thing, second winky face. Good day, Josh. That's what I wrote to him. And I wrote it that way because I knew by sending him a terse, business-like email, I'd be on the record saying, like, we're done. Don't talk to me anymore. I will take this to another authority if you keep pursuing this with me because legally we're through. I also wrote a terse, business-like email because I knew it would make him lose his mind and write back to me immediately, which he did. He wrote back within another half an hour. I didn't read that email either. Still haven't. I did write back one sentence, all caps. I said good day, sir. Nemesis vanquished. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy the rest of your show. Back to Phoebe and Jessica, who are wonderful.
Give it up for Josh Gondelman. Our next storyteller is very funny.
You should honestly friend her on Facebook. I rarely say this about people, but friend her on Facebook. Her status updates are fucking hilarious.
Really?
They're so good.
Oh, I got to do it.
She has a podcast that she does called This Week in Jackin', which is like jacking off.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's basically about people talk about the first time that they masturbated to like the last thing that they masturbated recently.
Which is like amazing. Dope.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. What's your last thing you masturbated to?
Oh my God. Sometimes I just don't even, you know what it is? I have a spiritual experience where I just black out. And then I wake up and I came and I go, oh, because I have my little toy.
Right.
So
right,
sometimes
right.
I just go, it's like meditation for me.
Yeah.
And the coming is enlightenment.
Ooh. That's awesome.
You gotta get this toy.
Yes. I'm scared.
Oh my God.
The last thing I masturbated to was like the idea of a man.
Yeah. So is it like somebody who like has a job and a 401k plan? He has like a mustache that he takes care of.
I was just like, any dude.
He has like an Equinox membership.
Right, all those things. I've just been so busy working that I went home to visit my family. I haven't had sex in a while. I'm like, just the idea of it is enough.
Yeah.
To get me off.
So I love just, that. Like a concept of a man.
Right. I was like, ooh, I'm like a philosophy major.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Well, it's interesting when you do start masturbating, what your brain decides to come up with. You go, oh, this is where we are. Oh, we're in the jungle. Oh. You go, oh, here we are. And then you just ride it.
Yeah.
But the concept of a man, I very jaw on.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
It's like, I was like, ooh, am I like Socrates? Like,
yeah.
Should people like study me after I die?
Maybe.
Like, I don't.
Maybe.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Anyway, so she.
She's amazing and very funny. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Micah Fox!
I kind of just want to keep listening to what they masturbate to. But we can tell a story, too. There's no one who deserves to fail more than a recent college grad, I think. When I graduated from college, I just was so full of, like, this naive arrogance, you know, that I think needs to fuel you through the years of just utter failure you're going to face. You just need to believe you deserve things. Because no one else believes that but you. So my belief was that I was going to be a great comedy writer. And I had never written anything by the time I graduated college, but that was not an obstacle for me. I moved to LA, and I just started looking through Craigslist, because that's how everyone gets their start, unless you want to be a paid writer. So, but lo and behold, like within my first week of searching, I find the subject line for the ad, head writer of a comedy sketch show for Fox TV. And I was like, there you go. Obviously, they would hire someone for this job on Craigslist. So I write him an email and I was like, hello, I'm a comedy writer. And I was like, why wouldn't I be? I just wrote that. And I send it out. I have no resume to speak of. You know, I'm just like, oh, I'm a comedy writer, hire me. And the guy emails me back right away, which should have been my first clue. He emails me back. He's like, you need to call me. I'm like, okay, I'm calling you. Wow, this is moving so quickly. So he calls. He's like, hello, my name is Dan the man Trabondi. And I'm like, of course it is. And he's like, what we're going to do is I have my own television show. It's going to be called The Dan Show, and it's going to be a mix of sketches, and that's what I need you to write. And then there's going to be interviews with very interesting people like strippers. And then the rest of it's just a reality show because I lead a very interesting life. And I was like, and Fox wants to make a show about this? And he's like, well, it's a Fox affiliate. Have you ever heard of Xena Warrior Princess? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And he's like, well, what they did, a lot of people don't know, is they were never hired to write Xena Warrior Princess. The people who wrote that show bought airtime like they do for paid programming, like infomercials. And they just started putting their show on television, and it became so successful they were able to sell their ads, and now they're millionaires. And that's what we're going to do. And I'd never done coke before. So I didn't recognize the symptoms. So I was like, great, I'm in. And he's like, whoa, hold on. I need to give you a writing test. I'm like, of course. So he's like, I definitely want a sketch about Saddam Hussein. And he's got his own line of champagne and it's called Saddam Perignon. I'm like, no problem. Cause at this point I know nothing about comedy writing, but I do understand that he's trying to make a whole sketch out of a pun. And I'm like, I could do better than that. So I write something. It had a talking donkey. It was definitely racist. And he's like, I love it. Of course, you know, and he's like, so you're hired and, you'll come to Vegas and we'll work on this show for 2 weeks. And you just stop by my house first. And I'm like, great. I'm a comedy writer. What could possibly go wrong? I don't know if you guys have ever been to the part of Vegas that's outside of the Strip. It is the saddest. It is where hope goes to die. It is straight tract homes, and every tract home is a tombstone for someone's dreams. So I'm driving through these tract homes. It's just a maze, and I drive all night, and I get there. And I walk up to the front door and I ring the doorbell and, the guy's like, who the fuck is there? And I'm like, oh, I see what I've done to myself. I'm like a 21-year-old little girl. I've put myself in a real bad situation. But here comes fame. So, and say, who the fuck is there? And then I'm like, it's, Micah, you're a writer. Right? And then you hear like 5,000 locks being unlocked. It's like click, 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 click. And the door swings open and there's this like Frankenstein of a man just standing there. He's huge. He has red hair. He's mid 40s, but got the skin of a 60-year-old. You know, he's got these Ritalin eyes, you know, like he's looking directly at me, but he can't focus. And he gives me the elevator eyes. Does the whole scan, and he's like, you're mousier than I expected. Oh. Right? And I was like, but I'm here to write, not fuck, right? So, and he's like, touche. So he's like, come on in. I'm like, yes, I'm in. And he brings me in, and he starts talking very quickly. He's like, the entire crew's on their way. You know, we're going to have to write the entire series, you know, tonight. But get started and just come into the kitchen and start writing. And I've never written anything before in my life, so I'm like, I better get to work. And so he goes upstairs to probably do a shit ton of blow and bury a hooker. And coming down the stairs is a very beautiful woman. Like, you know, like Las Vegas stripper, you know, she had to fight her way up to that kind of stripping position. Beautiful. Long dark hair, and she's got these like knee socks that are rainbow colored that like go up above her knee. And she comes down and she's like, hi, I'm Ecstasy. And I'm like, of course you are. And she's like, spelled XTC. And I'm like, yeah, I knew that. I saw that one coming. And she's like, listen, we don't have a lot of time, but I got to fill you in on Dan. I'm like, uh-oh. And she's like, he promised you were going to stay at a hotel while you wrote for these 2 weeks, but he's going to want you to stay here because he's really cheap and he's not going to want to pay the hotel fee. He's like, but trust me, this is the best idea anyway. The hotel's really shitty and I'll be here anyway because I'm his girlfriend. And so we'll be gal pals in it together. And I'm like, okay, you know? And she's like, oh, and there's another thing. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and then he starts coming back down the street. She's like, never mind, forget it. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, what? Right? And so he comes down the stairs, and the next thing you know, the house is like full of people. He's brought an entire crew of people from LA, and there's like, you know, there's cameramen and producers and all this stuff, and it's an entire team of men, and I'm the writer, and I'm like, yes! I've done it, and I'm like so powerful. And then we break for the night, and everybody leaves, and it's just him, me, and ecstasy, and he chooses that moment to propose to her. And he gets on his knee and he's like, ecstasy, you're so beautiful. And I'm just like, should I keep writing or what is this? And he's like, I've really loved our time together. Will you marry me? And she goes, fool, you know I don't love you. And I'm like, no, no. And she leaves. And now it's him and me. And he's like, so you're staying here, right? And I'm like, ooh. And he's like, there's something I want to show you. So we go into the living room, and he's like, this is the last television show I worked on. It's a reality show. And we sit down on these chairs, and he turns it on, and it's footage of his house that we're in. It's silent surveillance footage of other people who were there and did not know they were being filmed. And he and I are watching this, and I'm like, what the fuck kind of a Saw situation? And so I'm just sitting there, and he sees me getting nervous, and he looks over, and he goes, Micah, do you think I'm going to murder you? And I say, I don't know. And he goes, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get up and leave and see if you can? Swear to God. And with a challenge like that, you gotta, right? You can't just be like, nah, I'm good. I'm not gonna try and see if I can leave, you know? So I get up real slowly as though that's gonna make a difference. And I get up and I pick up my laptop because if I'm gonna make it out, I'm really gonna need this thing, you know? And I just walk slowly to the door, like trying to sense if he's behind me with a cleaver, but I refuse to look behind me because that's how you get killed. So I'm just slowly, slowly walking to the door and my hand reaches the doorknob and I'm shocked that I made it all the way to the door. And then my body just was like, go, go. So I open the door and I run outside. I go into my car. I have my keys on me somehow. And I just driving. I gas on the pedal, drive. He's not in the car. And I'm going. And it's like a maze of a neighborhood. And I'm like, holy shit. Oh, my God. And like, you know, I finally see a 7-Eleven. And I'm like, yes, I know you. And I go into the parking lot, which is, you know, where every major decision I've ever made in my life has probably occurred. And I just pull off to the 7-Eleven and I'm like panting and I'm breathing and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I'm like, what are you doing? You're blowing this amazing opportunity. Are you really going to blow this chance to be the head writer of a Fox kind of TV show? Just because you're scared of a guy, you know, and I'm like, come on, Micah, man up, you can do this. Because, you know, when you're like 21 and no one's ever offered you anything, you think that's your only chance. You think these are the stories that people tell on Inside the Actor Studio. So I'm in my rearview mirror just being like, you could do this, Micah. And if this is the last time you look at yourself, goodbye, you died trying. And I turn the car around, and I go back to his house. And I get out of the car, and I bring my laptop, and I open the door, and it's still unlocked. And I walk in, and he's still in his chair watching that creepy-ass footage. And he sees me and he starts laughing. He's like, ah, you really thought I was going to kill you? And I was like, I still do. But I am here to work, goddammit. And then the next 2 weeks, we wrote that show and he paid me $200 and I stole all of his weed. And that show is still on my resume today. Thanks, guys.
Give it up for Micah Fox!
Never want to be 21 again. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh, so dumb.
Yeah.
You're so dumb at 21.
Yeah.
You're so dumb.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, I don't think I did anything crazy.
Probably, though. Not crazy, but like dumb. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But I was in like a love saga at 21 that was really like a college dormy one.
What happened?
Yeah, it was very like, I'm like number one Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. And I really was rewatching it at that age. And there was this guy that I knew in my crew that like, he sort of reminded me of Angel. And more so in the sense that he was like broody. And whenever we would like hang out, he would just be like, oh, I want to be together, but we can't. And I would go, why? And then he'd be like, you're too good for me.
Oh, fuck you.
And so, and so this happened for like 3.5 years.
Oh my God.
And I know. But I was dumb, but I was like, you know what? You know, my other options were Chris Brown, but that isn't going to happen. But I took that.
Yeah.
And finally, I had wrestled him down after this, let's date, and then no. And then he'd go hook up with my friends, obviously. Right?
Oh,
he, so he would go, he'd be like, you're too good for me, but what's the deal with Samantha? Was she like put out? I'd be like, well, I don't know. Like, yeah, I get it. But I didn't like stand up for myself.
Right.
Or, like, and then I would just give him all of my time. Like, he'd be like, hey, I'm bored. You want to like go fart around at a movie? And I'd be like, yeah, okay. But it just wasn't a date, you know? Oof. Then I would go home and then go on my Tumblr and be like, why? Like, why am I not getting dated? So anyway, I finally wrestled him down and I convinced him to take me out on a date so that we try something new, right?
Okay.
And so we went on a date and he came over, picked me up, and then he was like, we got Mexican food, and then he's like, I have a surprise for you because it's in California. And so we drove and then we went to the beach, right? And then he opened up this bag and then pulled out papers and like two pens and he's like, I want to sketch like the sunset.
It's like, are you putting your dick in my vagina hole or not?
But you have to think, though, up
what?
Until that.
What is 3.5
But it was,
years?
Like, not where I was, though. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Because I grew up super Christian. You know,
right.
I did that purity ring ceremony.
Oh, wow. You were in it.
Up
you were
shit.
In it. Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Like, I had sworn my vajayjay because I was like,
wow.
And as a teenager, I was like, I'll never think boys are cute. I just like Lizzie McGuire. And
wait, so a purity ring
It's that's a whole other story, but it's basically just a ring that you get. You take this course, and you're like 13, and it's like 8 weeks, and basically it's your church explaining to you why penises are wrong and sexuality is wrong and masturbation is wrong unless you're married. And if you're married, you need to make sure you go through premarital counseling and you need to make sure you're ready for it because sex is demonic and like masturbation is demonic. That's like what they teach you.
Wow.
And then you stand up in front of a church and you make a pledge that you will not have sex until you're married.
Whoa.
Right. It's like some fucked up, like mad oppressive shit. Mm. So that's what I'm saying. At 21,
right.
I was still exercising some of those demons that I had in my body telling me that I needed to clamp this down.
Right, right.
So anyway, we start sketching the sunset. Mine's is like this surreal thing. I drew like a whale and stuff. And then his is actually very good.
Right.
Like he had done this before.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, that's so romantic. I just can't even believe it. Maybe I can give him my purity ring. And
oh my God.
Then we were driving back and the date was over and I'm just so enamored. And then we pull over around the corner from my parents' house and we start making out. And this is a huge deal for me.
That's
like
huge.
Fucking post it on Tumblr a million times, like text everyone. And so we're making out. And while we're making out, he just pulls away and then he starts breathing heavily like this. And he's looking into my eyes and I'm like, what's going on? He grabs my face and we start making out again. And then he pulls my face back and he looks at me again. He goes,
oh my God.
And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I love doing this. And I was like, what? He's like, don't you just want to savor this moment? And I was like,
No.
Because even I, you know, entering the highly closed gates of my sexuality was like, no, like fucking make out with me. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. This is so emo.
So then he's so emo.
Like Dashboard Confessional.
And he was very much like his favorite songs at that time were like, 'cause it's you and me and all of the people. Oh, he's getting roasted right now. Or like Gravity. Like. So you have to like put yourself in that young boy's mind, you know what I mean?
He's like, what would John Mayer do in this moment?
So that's where we were.
Oh my God.
So then he drops me off. I'm like, bye. And I'm, you know, also updating my live journal because I still had my live journal secretly at the time. I had the best date, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, like, this is going to be it. Like, this is my boyfriend. We're all these things, da, 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 da. And then, like, he doesn't text me back. He doesn't text me for, like, 2 weeks. And then I see that he starts, I think he's, like, posting on, it was either Facebook or MySpace, don't remember, like, had a date with a super hot girl, like, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't me, by the way. It was somebody else. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, then that's that. But that took me 3.5 years to get there. That is dumb.
Yeah, you could have been, like, out going on dates with, like, other, like,
all
dudes.
All sorts. All types.
Oh, 3.5
what
years.
What a waste.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I still see him every now and then. I'm like, what the? Why did I? Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Jay Willie, no. I wish that I was like my own Whitney Houston and Cinderella, that I could like flash to myself.
Yeah.
And be my own fairy godmother at 21. And be like, no, no, no. It's possible. It's possible for you not to fuck with a fuckboy tonight. Folly, darling, fiddly dee. Oh, no, girl.
It's for Whitney. That was for Whitney. Miss her.
You have to, in your 20s, you have to have a fuckboy. I had a fuckboy. We all have had.
Like a dum-dum.
Yeah. It was the same thing where it was like he was a stand-up. I don't think he does stand-up anymore, but like we started doing stand-up around the same time and we go like the same open mics together and like talk about comedy. It's like,
oh God.
Hey, did you see Ellen DeGeneres' first HBO special? It was like really good, right?
Yeah. Would you believe it? It was clean.
It was clean, like no curse words, and she like murdered for an hour. And I was like, oh my God, I know. Like, this is so cute, right? And I was obsessed with him. We used to talk to like all the other comedians knew that I liked this kid. Uh-huh. Like we would like sit together like dinner after a show and like we would like rub thighs together. I'd be like, oh my God, this is happening. Uh-huh. And he like invited me back to his apartment one time to like smoke pot out of a bong. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Uh-huh. And so we've been doing this like kind of like where he was be like, oh, like you're so great, you're so funny, I just love like hanging out with you. And he's like, you have to come to my Halloween party, you have to be there. Like at this point I like spent the night at his place, like nothing happened, but I was like, that's because this is going to be like a deep relationship. So
right. The way you spin that at 21 is really an art.
Right. It's like we're waiting because this is profound.
Right. This is important to him, which is why we won't have sex tonight.
Right. He like doesn't want to ruin this connection yet because he just like this is what Aiden did with Carrie initially in season 3 of Sex and the City.
Right.
And they ended up dating. So just wait.
Fucking Aiden. I can't deal with her. She's a fucking socio.
He redid her floors. Get out of here. Kill yourself.
I know. For like a man who will leave you at the altar, get the fuck out of here. Like, get girl gone.
Yeah.
All she needed was a black friend.
Yeah. It's so true. Her friends like co-signed her bullshit way too much.
They did was co-sign each other's bullshit.
Yeah. Miranda was the only real bitch on
the
show.
Right. Like, I'm about my life.
Yes.
I'm about my life.
Yeah, so she was like, Steve, I'm tired of watching this fucking puppy.
I don't know.
Like, what are you doing with your life, Steve?
I don't know.
Why are you throwing your basketball against my freshly painted wall, Steve?
I don't know. I don't know, Miranda.
Miranda. You're the one, Miranda.
It's like, worst.
She had the hot black doctor. Oh my God.
But here's the thing, though. They couldn't handle black people on that show as evidenced by that episode, right?
Right.
Like, the shit that they wrote in that episode is just like, really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
And so in my head, I was like, we're going to go the way of Aiden and Carrie, but not break up. I was like, this is going to happen. And so he was like, you have to come to my Halloween party. It's going to be so much fun. It'll be great for us to like hang out. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm going to go as a flapper, and his dick is going to get so hard.
Just like a shifty, loose dress flapper.
Just.
And like a weird feather flapper.
Right. I'm like, this is what guys are into.
Chicago had just come out.
So I was like, I was so pumped. And then he invited this other girl. And so they hung out the whole night. And I was like fucking in the kitchen drinking punch by myself. And she was like, of course, like super hot, amazing body. And I was like, I'm such a fucking idiot.
No.
I let this go on for a year thinking like tonight was going to be the night where we become, you know.
But that's the same thing with that guy. He only ended up hooking up with like blonde, like white, like super hot, like conventionally hot.
Right.
You know, but that shit's like boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
don't
like,
you want somebody like mad fucking down to earth who's like, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Right.
Fucking, so I take my bra off as soon as I get in the house.
Yeah.
It's just spicier, you know, right? Like, look at us.
Yeah, we're so much cooler.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Far and away.
Yeah. You wanna end up with Scarlett Johansson? I fell asleep.
Oh God.
Fuck
so
you.
So boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yeah.
What do you like to do?
I like to
nothing.
I go to yoga.
Oh my God.
And ballet bars like really just changed my life. I can't hang out because I need to go get a blowout. I wax regularly and on time.
Yeah.
I never miss my wax. I pay them forward.
I'm gluten free, and it's a personal choice of mine, and I feel really confident about it. It's like, fuck you.
It's like,
I am not like a feminist. I'm an equalist. Like, I believe. I get feminism. But I also really like humanism. So I identify as a humanist.
You don't want that girl. You don't want that girl.
Never a struggle.
The girl sucks.
Never a struggle.
All right. Let's bring up our next act.
So fuck that girl. Let's bring up our next guest. Our next storyteller is very amazing, very hilarious. She's been on the show a couple times.
She's one of our favorites, and she has a show that's here at Union Hall twice a month called The Show Show.
Please give it up for Jean Grey!
I was really, really excited when they asked me to do this particular show, and they were like, oh, storytelling, and it's about failures. And immediately I was like, oh, man. And then I couldn't think of any, like, failure stories. And then my first thought was like, oh, because you don't fail. And then immediately before I got even through the end of the word fail, the back of my brain was like, you have failed so much! You can't put them in order! So then I got a whole bunch of stories in my head, and I was like, but also, this is being broadcast. So maybe some of those stories you should not tell about those failures. So many, I had 20 of them, and I was like, don't involve those dudes. Maybe just make it about yourself. So I thought what would be a great idea, I know sometimes when we're kids and a lot of us and teachers are like, hey, a really good exercise for you is to write a letter to yourself in the future. And then you open it in the future and you see like, wow, like how many things was I really attempting to do? How many of these things have I accomplished? So I remembered that I actually wrote a letter to myself, which was supposed to be open today. What a coincidence. So I brought it, and I'm going to read that. And stories of failure-wise, we'll kind of just live it out in real time and see how many things I have and have not done. Dear 2016 Jean, hello. It's me. Well, you... But December 31st at 4:38 p.m., 2015, you. So young, so crazy. Must be so different. How time changes us. It is so lit right now. I bet you don't even remember what that means in 2016. It means a good time. What is the future even like? I can't imagine it. The future is full of endless possibilities, which of course you must be enjoying the fruitful bounty of. Robot servants, jetpacks, hovercrafts that are suspended in air ever so gently and never touch the ground, because that's what hovering means. Maybe the L train even operates as an actual functioning train on the weekends instead of being a shuttle bus crammed with beards, cat sweaters, and misplaced aggression towards gentrification by the people who have created gentrification. Hey, is DJ Khaled in really good shape yet? How could he not be? Listen, you can't walk all the way to the kitchen and have your personal chef, who does not want to be on camera, make you eat egg whites, turkey sausage, hash browns, and water for breakfast, and then jerk chicken, curry chicken, a bowl full of potatoes, a jar of butter, a Cornish hen covered with another Cornish hen, and 50 bottles of diabetes-filled apple pie-flavored Ciroc, and not be in amazing shape. Did I mention the 10 minutes montage of him being on a treadmill at which setting can only be described as nap time? He's the best. They don't want you to be fit. Lion, bless up, another one. Speaking of workouts, I know you have lost about 10 pounds already. Giving up cigarettes and drinking was a great decision. You look so good. Also, the rule you made for throwing away all of your "I am wearing this in too many photos" clothes is something to be proud of. That red and black flannel shirt and those ripped jeans don't fit you anymore and take half an hour to get into, but they're now enjoying a new home due to the goodwill drive you threw after the Two Dope Queens Union Hall show. Good job. Just in general, the commitment you've made to self-grooming, even when working on 90 projects, is a good one. Your nails look so cute, that shade of red. Just painted them for tonight. Never again let your nail polish just flake off and walk around for days without redoing them. Promise to self, it's so unprofessional. There's only so many times you can get away with telling people that your janky nail polish is a nail art of a bird's eye view of 10 obscure Mediterranean islands. Oh man, you know what must feel great? Your inbox. I know that it took hours upon hours out of January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd to delete all of those crap and old emails, but it's a new day. Never again will you let unneeded things take up space. Mm-hmm. You are a champion. Now you can send yourself things like songs you're working on, sketches, bits, even this as an email. If you decide to open and read it, you won't have to print up papers because it'll be right there. There won't be a mistake of spilling anything crazy like wine on your papers and then not being able to read it. Champion. Procrastination, what an enemy. But guess what? I know you have got a handle on that shit now. You will have all of your work done far before it's due, like an adult, because that's what you are. Speaking of adult things, man, tonight is going to be the shit. You don't want to go to a crazy party or four. And that's why tonight you and your boo are only going to one and a possible party. You're so ready this early in the day. How responsible. You laid your clothes out on the bed like it's the first day of school. Adorbs. All you have to do is just put your pants on. And they aren't even pants. They're leggings. What you won't do is just sit on the couch with your boo and watch Pitbull's New Year's Eve party and order pizza with no pants on and then fall asleep. Because you make your own decisions. Couch isn't the boss of you. Man, I wish I were you right now. You've got it together, and I am so proud. The future is bright, me. And hey, your music is now on iTunes, which means that people will buy it. And yes, Gene, they will buy it. Other things that could be more likely than people not buying it. North Korea testing a hydrogen bomb. Ha 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 ha. So listen, I've got to go shave my legs because even though it's winter, your man deserves to caress legs that won't leave his palms look like he's been running through a field of thorns all day, shading himself from the sun. Be good, future me. Live long and prosper. I hope our story continues to be great and ever evolving. Remember, you never really fail. You only learn how to use your ginormous failures for financial gain, employment, and others' entertainment.
Give it up for Jean Grey!
Hey, 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 if you like this episode, you should probably like us on Facebook too. You know, just so you can see our beautiful faces, find out about special events we're having, and other good stuff like pictures of Oprah and bread. I love bread. And thanks for making us number one on iTunes. We love you all so much that we're hitting the road. And we're going to be in Austin, Texas for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, April 21st through the 24th. Get your ticks. You ever use Google? Great. Type in Moon Tower Comedy to get your tickets to see Two Dope Queens. I hope we see you there. If not, well, you made a bad choice with your life.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solotaroff. Our team includes Rachel Neal, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, Joe Plord, Alex Overington, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky.
My my first CD was NSYNC, No Strings Attached.
Oh, wow. Like, you're so much younger than me. I'm trying to think. With my own money, I got two CDs. I got a Boys to Men CD, OVS, and I got a Sting CD.
Oh, I love that.
I love Sting.
Baby Phoebe is like adult Phoebe, realize.
I'm like, yeah. Fields of gold in my bedroom.
I know. Like, I'm like, remember when NSYNC went on tour and that was when I first discovered my sexuality?